Well, it's good to see so many of you out here this morning on this frosty, frozen morning, as Tom said in his prelude. And thank you, Carol, for reading. It's tough. You know, this big, tough guy, West Point graduate, military career guy, he's like a piece of, like a snowball in July when it comes to his emotions. Well, the standing orders of the gospel is the sermon title for this morning. It says, verses 16, 17, and 18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. These are the standing orders for us. They apply to everyone here. Over the past year and a half, we've been walking with Carl and Pat Cox as he made his journey from this life into the arms of the Lord. It was a tough and arduous road. It wasn't easy. While we naturally grieve at the loss of a loved one, they were married 58 years. They must have been 12 years old when they got married. Carl and Pat exuded the standing orders as they approached the end of his life, rejoicing, praying, and giving thanks. Now, these words originally in the Greek were written by Paul, and they were a very positive type of verb. They were an action verb, and you could translate it be saying continually rejoice, continually pray, and continually give thanks. That's hard to do sometimes. It's a real challenge. After all, it would be a lot easier if we said, rejoice sometimes when it's appropriate, when it feels good. Pray occasionally when you need God's help. And give thanks when you feel like it. But that's not what Paul is saying. He's saying continually and always. The modifier is what trips us up. Always, continually, and in all circumstances, which makes it very difficult. But when the real impact of the gospel of Jesus Christ is when we don't feel joyful, and we don't want to pray, and when we can't think of a reason to be thankful. That was not the attitude of the Cox family as they were going through these trials, the toughest trials with Carl's sickness, pain, discouragement, weariness, exhaustion. I know Pat must have been or still is exhausted. Encouragement, hope, and then dashed hopes, and finally, resolve and acceptance. In times like this, we find out if our Christianity is genuine or a spiritual counterfeit. The simple command reveals the life-changing part that Jesus has for us, how he comes into our life. He changes us from the inside out. It kind of tears us apart. You know, it's like when you catch a trout and he swallows the hook and you've got to pull that hook out. It's kind of tearing it from inside and out. That's what Christ does to our life. He changes us from the inside to the out. So we both have the power to rejoice and pray and give thanks. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not a bunch of platitudes. It's tough. It's not a nice facade or a Hollywood makeover or a glamour shot, that's for sure. We are to rejoice and pray and give thanks in even the worst moments of life. Let's look at these three standing orders. The first one, rejoice always. The real impact of the gospel will be seen. Sticky pages here. When we don't feel joyful, when we don't want to pray, when we don't want to give thanks, that's for sure. The angel told the shepherds at the birth of Jesus, good news of great joy will be for all people, and that's for us today. And you know what? Christmas is only 39 days away. As we mentioned about the shepherds in the field, just around the corner. Whenever the gospel is preached, it's a joyful sound to those who hear it. One of the great things about this congregation is we show joy in our lives. And if we don't have a real hearty belly laugh every morning during church, I am disappointed, and that rarely happens. Monday through Saturday, and especially on Sunday, we are joyful. We are greeted with smiles. I often see people in the congregation up at Lowe's or Home Depot or Safeway or Walmart, and every time I see them, I have a big smile on their face. It's so wonderful to see that this happy experience that we have in life as part of our Christian life. every day. Sunday is no exception. It should be a day of joy every day, regardless of what life throws at us. The first proof of the gospel's power for most people is what they see in us, not what they hear us say, but what they see us do. Full joy of all time. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you," in John 15. "These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you, permeating you, taking you over, encompassing you with his love." Because it works from the inside out, the true Christian joy does not depend upon whether or not you have a good paycheck or a good job, or whether your marriage is in good shape, or your children are doing well or bad or whatever. The first proof of the gospel power is what people see in us. That is the proof of the gospel's power. And I say this so often on Sunday morning, I must sound like a broken record, but it's what people see in us and not what we say. See a quote from a Bible professor named Denny. He says, "Let God be great in the assembly of his people. Let we be lifted up as he is revealed to us in Christ Jesus, and joy fill our hearts. If the services of the church are dull, it's because God has been left outside. God is the one of all joy." Some Christians think it's a sacred duty to be glum and be very pious. And I remember the Catholic Church, the little kids going to communion and to confession, they had to be very somber and very not smile. If they got smile, they got smacked by the nuns on the back of the hand. Anybody remember that? Yeah, look at that. That's for sure. Well, I think most of us have gotten the idea of joy in all things in this church. Nehemiah 8 says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." And Proverbs says, I love Proverbs, "A cheerful heart is good medicine." That's for sure. This is the football season, and all teams, high school, college, and pros, have their cheerleaders. We even have our own joy leader, don't we? Sitting right here in the front row, Betty Miner. She's our joy leader. No pom-poms, but she's our joy leader, that's for sure. Jesus said in the gospel, the Christian life is like new wine. Jesus knew all about wine, didn't he? Remember the first miracle, the wedding at Cana? He changed water into the wine, the very, very best wine. Jesus said, if it does not make our faces shine, it is because we have not tasted it. And that's the life and the mission and the gospel of Jesus. If we only had eyes to see, we would find reasons to joy, to rejoice everywhere. Remember the miniseries about John Adams? That was great a few years ago. Towards the end of the miniseries, John Adams is now 90 years old, and he's outlived his wife and several of his children. And all of his contemporaries, with the exception of Thomas Jefferson, who died on the same day he did, July 4th, 1826, about 5 hours apart. Well, his health failing, Adam moves very slowly, yet on a sunny day in Peacefield, his Massachusetts farm, he goes for a walk on the country lane with one of his sons. He said, "I'm not tired. I still have hope." And pausing to catch his breath, he bends over slightly. And his son says, "It's time to go home, Dad. It's time to go home. You're getting tired." And leaning on his son's shoulder, Adam says, "Rejoice evermore," as he turned home. And his son looks at him puzzled and said, "What do you mean by that, rejoice evermore?" And John Adams says, "Rejoice evermore. That's from St. Paul. You should know that." And then spotting a tiny blossom, he says, takes his cane and points at it. He said, "I've seen the Queen of France bedecked in millions of dollars worth of jewelry. But I tell you, there's more beauty in that flower than I ever saw in the court of France." As Adams walked slowly back to his house, he said, "Abigail also often told me I need to appreciate the beauty of the small things in life. And now I have the time to do that." Beauty in the small things, the magnificence of God's creation. The other morning, I took my dog Riley for a walk. It was minus 10, no wind, bright sun, absolutely gorgeous. It wasn't even cold because we were bundled up nicely, and the snow glistened like a billion tiny diamonds from the streets of heaven. And it felt like I was in heaven. It was so glorious, just beautiful. It's just the little things. We were also, one of the standing orders, we're supposed to pray without ceasing. How do we do that? How does our life be a prayer without ceasing? It should be constant as we offer ourselves to the Lord and live in His life. I heard a speaker compare praying without ceasing like catching fish with a net. As long as the net doesn't have any holes in it, it works good. All the water flows through, but it catches the fish. The same is true with when we pray. There should be no holes in our prayer net. In other words, our prayer, our life should be an attitude of prayer, ready to pray, the hotline to God, always connected, so that whenever you need it, you don't have to dial them up, because it might be, you may dial the wrong number, but if you have that number, that hotline connected, it's always there, 24 hours a day. God loves you. He wants to talk to you. He loves you. He wants to hear from His children. There's nothing we face, no duty too small that it would not be improved by bringing on the power of God through prayer, consciously, deliberately, repeatedly, persistently. That is our attitude of prayer as we go through life. You don't have to get down on your knees. You can be driving the car. You can be walking down the street. You can be sitting reading a book, and sometimes something comes across you, and you just pray to God in just an instant, and that's so important. If we leave God out of our lives by not having that connection with Him, the result is frustration, irritation, a lack of peace, confusion, short temper, weariness, and discouragement. But when we invite God into our life, He makes the road so smooth for us. He guides us and helps us along the way, even in the midst of the most difficult times. God is with us. Then the third standing order is be thankful in every circumstance. It's the most difficult when things are hard, in every circumstance. We just sang in the doxology, praise God from whom all blessings flow. From God whom all blessings flow. We should recognize those blessings even in the tough times. When things are going well, it's so easy to please and pray to God. But what happens when trouble comes? When all of a sudden the stock market tanks, which has happened in the past. When things go wrong in the family, the love of God for us does not change. It is always the same. I'm sure that most of you, all of you, have flown in an airplane. Anybody hasn't? Okay. You take off and you go above the clouds. And you fly for hours above the clouds. But below the clouds, it's dark and dreary. But God is like being above the clouds. We are in His sunshine. We are in His sunshine. Sometimes things don't make sense to us. Try as we might, they just don't make sense. Why does this happen? God paints a canvas which is much bigger than the little bit that we can see on that canvas. It's like taking a huge puzzle and just seeing a couple of pieces and trying to figure out what it's all about. How do we give thanks to God when our hearts are broken? How can we give thanks to God when we're confused? How do we give thanks to God when we see what sin has done in this world? We give thanks. We look at all that we give thanks. All of these things that I'm going to mention could in themselves be a sermon. Give thanks for the fact that God is sovereign, that nothing happens by chance, that God causes all things to work together for good for His children. The hard times reveal our weakness, break our pride, and show us the total need for God. Sometimes that's the way we are brought to God. That God has triumphed over death through His Son, Jesus Christ, His resurrection. That God uses the worst to promote our spiritual growth. That God is faithful. He's always faithful. Even if we are unfaithful to Him, He will be there with us. God's promises are true. The evil will not reign forever. Heaven is real. And this world is not the real and eternal world. It's only a temporary place for us. His grace is sufficient in every situation. The blood of Christ cleanses us from every sin. The Lord can soften the hardest heart and come into it and break it apart and make it soft. That even when we feel alone, we are never alone. That our Father will not test us beyond what we can bear. And sometimes we wonder about that. Is God testing me beyond what I can bear? And that the Holy Spirit abides with us forever. The Lord Jesus feels our pain. God uses everything and wastes nothing. Someday we will be conformed to the image of Christ, and because we are made in the image of God. And when we go back to our glorified body, we will be in the image of God. Weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. While we suffer outwardly, we are being renewed inwardly. That's what God does with us. In Eugene Peterson's translation of the Bible called The Message, he nicely captures the meaning of verse 18 this way. Thank God, no matter what happens, this is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. Thank God, no matter what happens. Stuff happens, bad stuff happens. Really bad stuff happens sometimes to very good people, doesn't it? Carl Cox did not deserve the suffering, the pain and decline. But God didn't do it. God didn't cause that. Remember, in the garden, it was perfect. It was so perfect that I guess Eve was the most beautiful thing on earth, wasn't she? And Adam saw it. But what they did, they messed things up with their decisions. And now we spend trillions of dollars trying to right the ship with our environmental cleanups, our medical research. We live on a sin-cursed planet. And no one gets a free ride through life. I've lived enough to know behind every smiling face, and I see smiling faces every morning, there are challenges and pain, and there's a story. Upside down. We'll never be able to give thanks without the Holy Spirit's help. Left to ourselves, without the power of God coming into us, the challenges that we face are difficult, will be very difficult. We should say, thank you, Lord, no matter what happens. What is your alternative? To give in to despair and anger? Well, no, don't do that, because God will lift you up. The simplest act of giving thanks in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of loss, in the midst of pain, is better than a preacher saying 10,000 words when things are going well. So what is the will of God for your life? Well, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything, give thanks. This is the will of God for you. When times are tough, if you can still rejoice in God, if you can still pray, if you can still give thanks, what a difference your life will be. What a difference your life will be.